This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4:30 this afternoon talking Tigers and a playoff game kind of built inside of the playoffs, so
That's
to speak,
right.
As LSU plays Texas A&M. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL at 6:30 tonight. Chris Blair, Jacob Hester giving you all the action. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. They always come through for us and do a
That's
great
right.
job. And I know they're busy at the present. I know there's a lot of work and reconstruction stuff happening in the Florida area, but they do tremendous work all across the Gulf South. Before we talk Tigers and Aggies, I'll bring this up. He's a friend of WWL Radio, a friend of mine for a long time, Eric Paulson. A long time early morning host on the early morning show with Sally Ann. So many people grew up with that. Eric passed away.
I did.
This morning with cancer. He spoke about that. He had an aggressive form of cancer, and he passed away. Eric was a good dude in life. I mean, he was as genuine as you could get. Great reporter, but always was so courteous and genuine when you met him, and he was funny. I mean, he was funny as all get out. He always, could take a joke and also give a joke out pretty well. And this was a few years back when we started riding on crew of Mad Hatters, myself along with Bobby Hebert.
Great parade.
And so we meet up with the first kind of ball for Mad Hatters, and this young lady, she was in her mid 30s, I guess, comes up to him, and while Eric and I are talking, and sort of introduces herself, and she was like, "Eric, I grew up watching you on television," and he was like, "Oh, thank you so much, I really appreciate it." I said, "Let me just tell you, I grew up watching him too." Man, he took a long look at me. He's like, "You see, one person's telling the truth here, and the other one's like, come on, you didn't grow up watching me on television." And so every time I'd see him after that, I would always tell him, "Man, Eric, you look good. Man, I grew up watching you on television." I'm not going to say what he would repeat back to me, but, man, we got along so well in life, and he's going to be missed. He was a fixture in our lives for so long, Herb, that – and I don't know if we'll ever have that combination again.
With Sally Ann and Eric.
With Sally Ann and Eric. And before that, he had Andre Trevine was on with him. But him and Sally, that was unbelievable combination. And then Sheba Turk comes in, and Sheba was unbelievable.
She's all, yes, she is.
And now she's out in Los Angeles now doing her thing. So our thoughts and prayers are out with Eric Paulson and his family, so many friends and so many people that, you know, considered you part of the family because you saw him basically
every morning.
Your life for hours. And, again, he lived life to the fullest.
Yeah.
He always had a good time in life. He was a big sports fan, loved the Saints, LSU. He would always talk about that to you, even when he wasn't part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I'd go film there for Channel 4, and he would always sort of come by and always want to ask you some questions. And His other thing was how things on the bayou.
Yeah.
Ed Daniels got, and that's unbelievable. Ed Daniels
right.
was the first guy to call me right after Ida passed. He was the first guy mm-hmm. to actively get in touch with me because my phone service was so bad after Ida. And that was the night of Ida.
Yeah.
Ed called me. Who called me that morning? And I don't know how he got in because I got no other calls.
Eric
Paulson.
Nice.
He said, man, Mike, I want to see everything's okay with you. I said, everything's fine. We got a little roof damage. We got some damage.
Yep.
But, man, he was always concerned about you. And, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Eric, the Channel 4 WWL TV family, and all his family and so many friends that he had along the way. He touched so many lives.
Yeah, Eric's one of those people where I just remember growing up and watching Eric. And then when I did some shows with CBS or Channel 4 in the morning, I've had opportunities to meet with him and talk to him, and you know, for brief periods of time. But he's one of those people where he's a fixture in the New Orleans media circuit, if you will. Everyone knows him. Everyone knew him. Everyone loved him at the same time. But you know, it's so sad as to what happened to him and how, you know, how fast his sickness took his life.
It was aggressive. And he made it known
that
it was an aggressive form of cancer.
Here's the thing now, you know, it's one of those things where you live and you learn and you get to a situation that he's gotten to. Now it's time for us to celebrate his life.
Yes.
It's time for us to remember who he was. That's right.
He would
remember who he was and how his legacy is going to carry on to inspire other, you know, local people who are going to grow up and be newscasters such as he and Sal Lynn and Ed Daniels as well and people like that. So he left a lasting legacy in the New Orleans media and not just New Orleans, but across the country. And so sad to hear that he's gone, but he will always be in our prayers and thoughts and memories.
You know, no question about it. Last year, I think it was a little bit later in the season, I meet up with him, and he was like, man, every once in a while, he said, I catch y'all on that Tiger tailgating show,
yeah.
You and Herb. He said, it ain't the two Cajuns, so he said, I do understand one of the two of you.
And it ain't me.
And it was you.
No,
it wasn't me. He said, I'll get on that part. But God bless you, Eric, man.
Yes.
We'll always remember you, and you certainly in our thoughts and prayers. Herb, I think in today's game with LSU, this is all about, for me, to stop A&M, you have to stop Le'Veon Moss.
Le'Veon Moss, that's right.
He's the guy. And we'll get into a lot of the breakdown, but here was a young man who grew up in Baton Rouge,
yep.
Went to Struma High School, highly recruited, four-star recruit, initially committed to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to go there, then changed his mind and maybe to check cleared, and he went to A&M. And, hey, listen, that's just the way of the world today.
Yeah, it's college football.
That's college football, college athletics.
Yep.
Le'Veon goes there. He's the straw that turns the drink because you cannot put every throw on Connor Wegman. And I think that's what LSU's got to do here. They've got to be able to slow down Le'Veon Moss in the running game and say, okay, if you're going to beat me with Connor Wegman, do it, but you're not going to beat me with Le'Veon Moss.
No, but here's the thing. Le'Veon Moss is one of those extremely talented players that come out of high school, highly ranked, four-star, that also has a lot of ceiling left to reach. It's amazing to me that, you know, the way that he plays and the way that he runs, that it just makes me just fearful of him, to be honest with you. Like, you know, the last couple of Texas A&M running backs that we were really fearful of really did some numbers on us.
Still trying to tackle that A-chain.
A-chain, that's right. So, and I think if you don't make it a focus to tackle Moss today, it's going to be the same thing. And he is the guy. He's the one on their team that allows them to go as they go, right? He's the number two rusher in the conference right now with 674 yards rushing. He's probably the top talented person on that offensive side of the football, whereas he can rush and catch the ball out of the backfield. And he is the guy that they want to feature in every game that they play in this year. So it's going to be tough for LSU to kind of single him out and then allow and let Wegman beat you. But if Wegman beats you, he beats you. He's not the guy that you don't anticipate him coming out and just lighting the world on fire. But if he does beat you, he beats you. But again, this is one of those games where you have two teams that's lost the first game of the season in out-of-conference play and who's rattled off five wins. And so now, to me, again, we're looking, staring at ourselves in the mirror, right? It's a little bit different attack on offense, but it's similar on defense. LSU's found their way on defense. Once Harold Perkins went down, we started just opening things up, and we're allowing other people to be who they are. And now you see the difference in that defensive team, how athletic, how much they fly around the ball, how energetic they are. Same thing on defense for Texas A&M. Now, there is some history with the two coaches right there. And when I say history,
just a little bit,
in the same rooms. And so with that being said, I think Brian Kelly kind of knows what to expect on defense from Texas A&M.
From Mike Elko's defense.
Yeah, but however, Mike has some guys up front that Mike's never had before. And so now he gets to play around with that, the athletic ability that these front seven has, the strength, the quickness, and the speed. So it's going to be interesting to see what they come out and how they throw things at LSU.
From a year ago, and A&M's front seven a year ago, they were really good.
They were.
Again, going up against Jaden Daniels sort of brings you back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah.
But it did for almost everybody.
Yes.
But the one guy that I think he sort of tilted the field for him was Edgerton Cooper, the linebacker.
Yeah.
And he got to be a second-round pick of the Green Bay Packers. Really good football player from Covington. He decided to go to Texas A&M.
Yep.
I don't know that they got that one guy, because almost like Cooper was like twins. Every play he was involved, either making the tackle or an assist if it was a running play, and even putting pressure. I think their defensive line is really good, and we'll talk about Nick Scorton, who I think is a really good football player, transfer guy from Purdue.
Yep.
I think for LSU, man, if you can protect Garrett Nussmeier in this game, you got a shot. Because of the fact, the one thing we've seen some breakdowns a little bit is with the A&M secondary. At times giving up a big play.
Yep.
And I think that's where, if you can protect Garrett, and they've been able to do it all year long. You brought this up last week about, man, I haven't seen a defense that give anybody more pressure than South Carolina.
Right.
And look what that's happened.
That's right.
And South Carolina, man, those two edge guys, but also two is those two guys in the middle. They kind of jam up everybody, and the two guys
that's
is
right.
like, sick them.
Right.
Get to the quarterback.
That's right.
At that stage.
So, you know, it's interesting to say that LSU has probably one of the best pass blocking offensive linemen line period in the country, especially in the SEC, which is why you don't see Nussmeier really kind of, you know, antsy about getting out of the pocket and running or whatever, things like that, because he's so comfortable sitting back there. The thing that I like about Nussmeier against this defense is the fact of what you said. If that offensive line can give him some time, those DBs for Texas A&M are definitely going to release some of those receivers. And they're going to be open. Now, it may be in that last half of that second, like the two-second mark, like 2.5 seconds in the pocket and to 3 seconds in the pocket, those guys are released and they'll be able to get the ball to some of the Kyron Laces, Jaron Anderson, and whoever else is going to come open.
And hopefully Chris Hilton, who we'll see for the first time on the field. It looks as though Chris will play today. We'll be back with more of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Natalia, Herb Tyler right here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got a lot more Tiger Aggie talk right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dottiglia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here. And also, if you're having a party or a tailgate situation at your house, and also with the holidays coming up, give them a call here. Jason will take care of you. They do catering and do just tremendous work on that end also. So yep. If you're looking for somebody, you don't feel like cooking maybe for a holiday, give them a call here at Acme, and they can take care of that. Herb, let's go through some of the scores today. With a little less than 2 minutes left in the game, Tulane, and they jumped out all over North Texas. They had a 31-17 lead at halftime. With about 2 minutes left, it's 45-30. Tulane over North Texas. And, man, the one thing going into this game, and I made John Summerall laugh when we did Tulane Tuesday. I told him, I said, John, man, should I bet the over on this game? You know what the over is?
What?
75.
Ooh.
Add up the numbers. 45.
Ooh. Yes, 30. Sir. There you go. There you go.
And he laughed. He said, Mike, you know a lot more about that than I do. But he said, man, it would seem to be, it won't be an under game. So 45-30 with about 2 minutes left. North Texas having the football with about 4 minutes left. Ole Miss. And, boy, they have struggled today. But they have a 26-14 lead over Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, 21-17 lead with about a little less than 3 minutes left against Nebraska. That has been a difficult game for Ohio State. 21-17 with a little less than 3 minutes left. Arkansas bouncing back after a loss to LSU. Mm-hmm. They have a 41-25 lead over Mississippi State to start the fourth quarter. And, man, Notre Dame today. They say, listen, we had a one bad game. It ain't happening again. And they took it out on Navy 51-14. Navy had been undefeated going into this game. And it is difficult. And maybe you can kind of explain this to fans too. When you play a team, and every once in a while they'll throw the ball, Navy. But, yep. Man, they come at you a certain way. And they run it, and they run it, and they run it, and they wear you down. If you're not prepared for that, because you don't see too many teams like Army and Navy today. The challenge of trying to stop that type of attack, when you don't see it much and you only got a couple days to prepare.
Yeah, it's difficult because you prepare for what they, 95% of their offensive game plan would be is what you normally prepare for. But a good coach would prepare for a little bit of everything, right? And not be so, I guess, indoctrinated in trying to stop the run. It's all about being disciplined and assignment driven when you're playing against those guys.
Don't get out of your assignment.
Don't get out of position.
Angle.
You stay in your assignment, yeah. And you take the guy you're supposed to take, and then everything is going to fall right into place. What happens when you play a team like Navy or Army or something like that, you try to be a hero and you try to go make a play that's not your assignment. No, just do your assignment. And when you do that, you'll be fine. I remember Sean Payton always said, just do your job. When you do that, you win championships, you win football games, and you just win quarters and plays.
You heard Brian Kelly say it this week.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same thing.
Yep.
You don't have to be Superman.
Nope.
Do your job. Do your assignment out on the field. Also, because it was game day, and they came through. Indiana. Stays undefeated.
Yes.
With a 31-17 win over Washington.
That's
a long trip.
That's a long
trip. From Washington to Indiana.
But what Indiana's doing this year is impressive, and you have to pay attention.
Man, Coach Kurt has got them rolling.
You
got
to pay attention. If you're not, if you're just looking at them, and you say, oh, that's just a – no, they're not that your grandfather's –
your typical Indiana
is not the same team, no.
Yeah,
it's a really great team.
I saw Coach Corso, and I do remember those late 70 teams when he was coaching there. And they were pretty good.
Yeah.
They were a pretty solid team then. But Coach Kurt's got them rolling now. 31-17, big win over Washington. And, man, just think about all these teams now that's going to have to travel out west.
Yes, coast to coast.
Teams traveling from out west. And what if you got to go play Penn State?
Yep.
And that sort of thing. So
that's a travel. That's difficult.
Big win for Indiana today. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Acme Oyster House. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We come back, Mark Passwaters from Rivals.com. Give us some insights on Texas A&M right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler, live from Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Herb and I will be here until 4:30 this afternoon, leading you up to LSU, Texas A&M, and basically a playoff game long before the season is over with. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. It's time now for our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, totally focused on patient care. I want to thank Greg Stock and the crew there at Thibodaux Regional Health System. Do a great job on the bayou. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have with us Mark Passwaters from Rivals.com. Mark covers the Texas A&M Aggies. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Sure, gentlemen. My pleasure. How's it going?
Doing great. Mark, I don't know if you would agree with this. Herb and I started our show with this, that I think the straw that turns the offensive drink for the Aggies this year. Man, you would figure. A dude from Louisiana, from Mashuma High School.
Right, that's right.
And Le'Veon Moss. Your thoughts on Le'Veon and him being such a big part of the attack, not only as a runner. They haven't thrown him the football a lot, but I do know he can catch it. And also in the return game, also. He's also a player in that part also. So I don't know if you agree, but I think the key here, if LSU gets a W.
That's right.
Is all about you can't stop them, but slow down Le'Veon Moss.
I totally agree. I think if you're looking for an MVP so far this season, he's it. I mean, you look at what they've dealt with at quarterback with Connor Wigman missing three games, and they went 3-0 in that stretch, and Marcel Reed got a lot of credit, but it was the 8 train that carried them. I mean, you take a look at what he did late in the game against Arkansas, where he basically put the team on his shoulders and carried them to a win. You know, he's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. He has been the guy that has really helped this offense go. And you take a look at it, they're 13th in the nation in rushing, and they're nowhere close without him.
The other part, too, is a little bit of inconsistent play, certainly, from Connor Wegman. I go back, we were at Manning camp, and Archie Manning and I, we on the golf court watching different quarterbacks throw the football. Man, on the Friday, Connor really threw the football well. Man, I watched him again the Saturday. Now, he's throwing up against air now. It wasn't good. And you kind of see it in his play this year. That is that ultimate roller coaster guy, that he looks really good sometimes. He makes some tremendous window throw type passes. And then other times he'll miss an easy one or he tries to stretch it too much. The inconsistency here, I think, is, man, would drive me crazy as a coach. Give me the consistent guy all across the board. We haven't really seen that with Connor and him being able to kind of piece all of this together. We look at what's happening at LSU with Garrett Nussmeier, and the consistency part is there with Garrett. It has not been that way this year so far, I should say, so far with Connor Wegman.
Well, he had a horrible game against Notre Dame, but he also got hurt early in that one and tried to fight his way through it, and ended up being a major mistake. But since then, he's completed 70% of his passes, and he was magnificent against Missouri a couple of weeks ago. He was not as good, clearly, against Mississippi State, but that was only, you know, believe it or not, it seems like he's been there forever, but that was his third career road start. So, you know, having the cowbells in your ears is never fun, and especially when it's your first of the season.
So, no, that's a dude sitting next to me. He can tell you that.
Yeah, and you know, you guys both know it's no fun going to Starkville. But, no. You know, you take a look at what he did early in that game, he was magnificent. And then in the second half, he wasn't good. Mississippi State got back in that game, and then all of a sudden he turned it back on again, made a couple of really big throws on the drive that clinched it. You know, but you're absolutely right. He's got to be consistent. If Missouri Connor Wegman shows up, the Aggies are going to be in good shape tonight. If it's second half against Mississippi State, then A&M's probably going to be sweating.
Your thoughts on the offensive line play? Man, a couple years back when Jimbo was there and they got left out of kind of the playoff picture mm-hmm. when it was just four.
Yep.
Man, that was a really good offensive line. I remember Coach O told me, man, that they are really strong up front. They got a huge advantage in that part. Tell us a little bit about the A&M offensive line.
Well, they were terrible the last 2 years to the point where my daughter, who is only 10 and only pays a little bit of attention to football, said they should bring Adazio back to fire him again. You know, that tells you a lot. You know, they were putrid last year. There's no way else to put it. But Adam Cushing has come in. He came in with Coach Elko from Duke, and he's just done a magnificent job. You're looking at a lot of guys who were there last year and didn't perform well who are just really doing a great job. And I think that, you know, it just goes back to at the start of the spring, even before some of these transfers got in, Cushing basically tore them back down to brass tacks, and they just went to fundamental blocking. And they have, you know, relearned everything that Adazio made them forget. And, you know, they're just a tough, physical team that really works well together as a group. I always thought you needed five guys, that consistent core to really succeed. They've been running 7 and 8 guys out there, and you don't see much of a drop-off. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Cushing should, you know, really get some serious consideration for position coach of the year, if there is such a thing.
That's strong sentiment. So going back a few years ago, Texas A&M brought in Jimbo Fisher, right? The buzz around the community, around the SEC, around Texas A&M and the country was that, hey, this is a, you know, truly game-changing decision. So a few short years later, Jimbo's not there anymore. What's the buzz around Texas A&M with Coach Elko coming in? And then how does everybody feel about the program moving forward?
You know, Elko's kind of the anti-Jimbo. He doesn't want attention. He would just assume the national media go away and stay away. You know, he's more interested in the process. He's really more into teaching. They want to be physical. They want to be tough. And he has really altered the mindset. I think that he did a very good job of helping some players who weren't going to get on board realize that and go somewhere else. He did a really good job of getting people that were going to buy into his program through the portal. And the guys that stayed, to their credit, jumped on really quick. And this is a team that, you know, they're not flashy. They're out there to win both lines of scrimmage, and they want to go and play as physical as they can for four quarters. And that plays very well with a fan base that, as you know, values defense going back to the days of the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, for me, these two teams, LSU and Texas A&M, are kind of identical. Of course, the record is identical. The way that the season has gone for them is identical. But they do it in two different ways. So LSU is a little bit more flashy on offense, whereas Texas A&M is not. And then with that being said, how do you see Texas A&M stopping LSU's first, their pass game, and then potentially LSU's run game with the emergence of Caden Durham?
Well, you know, A&M started off really bad against the run. Against Notre Dame, obviously, they were bad. They weren't good against McNeese, and since then, they've been really, really good. And I think part of that was simply everybody figuring out the scheme. It took a little while, you know, get the bullets flying and all that for them to really mesh and figure out what Elko wanted to do. And I think they've done that, especially against the run. You know, it's tough sledding against those guys right now. But obviously, LSU has done a fantastic job protecting Garrett Nussmeier, and A&M has to find a way to get to it. I think that this could be an epic matchup with, you know, Jones and Campbell against Nick Scorton and Shamar Turner. You know, Elko said there's $10 million on the table. Two of those guys are going to walk away with it, and whoever wins that battle may win the ball game. So, you know, A&M's going to have to come after Nussmeier. I don't think there's much question about that. You know, the question is whether or not they can get to him. And, you know, they're probably going to show him a lot of different things. That's something that Elko has done historically, where he has shown a lot of different looks. And finally, this group seems to have figured out how he wants to do things. So, you know, it's really going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
At wide receiver, man, you got a king-size guy in Noah Thomas. There's been a lot of sort of comps his way that he may be the next Mike Evans. I don't know about that. Mike Evans, man, Mike Evans was
right
something
there.
Special.
Yeah.
And he's certainly been special in the National Football League. So I'll get your comments on Noah. The other part is, man, a few years back, Moose Muhammad III, he was sort of billed as the feature guy. And he has sort of fallen back. Is that of they've brought in better talent? Is that injuries involved there? So give us a little bit of insights on Noah and also for Moose Muhammad.
Okay, well, first off, I'm a little biased. Mike Evans is a very good friend of mine. And even though I like Noah Thomas a lot and he's got a great skill set, there aren't any other Mike Evans. You know, he's just a superstar. But you know, To your point, Noah Thomas has had a couple of really, really good games in a row. He's a guy that has become physical. He's really tall, so he can go up and get balls that most guys can't. And he has a comfort level with Wegman that goes back a couple of years. You take a look at, you know, Wegman's thrown 3 touchdowns so far this year, 2 to Thomas. He threw 8 last year, 5 to Thomas. So that gives you an idea that those two guys have a real connection. And with Moose, you know, he just doesn't do himself any favors. You know, this is a team where you have to show effort all the time. You have to show effort in practice. You have to do things right in practice. You have to show effort in the game. You know, you have to show effort in the weight room. And if you don't, you don't play. So, you know, there's been a lot of good Moose that you saw a couple of years ago with that great one-handed catch against LSU for the touchdown. But there's been a lot of bad Moose, and honestly, he's his own worst enemy. And right now, I don't even know if he's going to get any snaps today with Terry Bussey being back.
Whoa. I think, Mark, you know, comparing offense, defense, and it is sort of what Herb talked about. It's sort of a stalemate. This game is going to maybe kind of tilt on a special teams play. Either a missed field goal, block punt, return, that sort of thing. Give us a little short bio of how the kicking punting units are for A&M, and the return games I know are pretty good. Terry can run it back, and so certainly can Bell. So I do think that in this game, with everything so tight, something special teams-wise is going to break the sort of dam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because A&M's kind of hit or miss in that category, and I mean like Dave Kingman hit or miss. It's a home run or it's a strikeout. Tyler White, the punter, is probably the best special teamer on the field for either team. This kid has an absolute cannon. The only question is whether or not they can block for him. He's already had one punt blocked this year. But when he gets it off, I mean, He hit the best punt I've ever seen against Missouri, putting it out inside the one, and it just kind of went 90 degrees out of bounds. I've never seen that before. Randy Bond, the place kicker, has only missed two kicks. They were both, you know, within 5 minutes of each other at the same exact spot on a messy field at Florida. He's been real consistent. Terry Buffy is really the guy to watch on the return game instead of Moss this year. He's a true freshman. He came down to LSU and A&M in December. Real talented young guy, still kind of figuring out exactly what he's going to be. Just a lot of raw talent at this point. But the coverage teams are the issue. They've given up a lot of big returns. You know, they can't allow that, obviously, against LSU. You give Nussmeier a short field, you're going to pay for it.
And the other thing, too, with Xavion Thomas, with Xavion returning, because Herb and I have talked about this the last couple weeks. He has come close to breaking one.
Yep.
And he hasn't been able to do it yet, but it's been close.
It's coming.
And so we see maybe this might be the week that he can hit that big shot. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always appreciate your time and your insights. Do a great job covering the Aggies on Rivals.com.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll be back with more of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live right here from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll be back to finish off our number one right after this break. We're back here finishing up on our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. And also we want to thank our presenting sponsor of Map Construction. Herb, before we go to the hour news, it's a final in Denton, Texas. And Tulane with a 45-37
I should have put my
win
on
North Texas. And in a joking manner, because I don't want to get him in no trouble.
No.
But we were joking around with Coach Summerall about this looked like the ultimate over game. And he laughed. He said, well, you'd know a lot more about it than I would. Well, they finally got the over. It was 45-30, and North Texas scored late. So if you got, if you had 74.5, 75, which is about where it ended, you were over with it. Again, another big win for the Green Wave. Playing in a team that, man, they ain't no good on defense, but boy, can they score points.
Yeah.
North Texas got some athletes, and they can score a lot of points. A shootout in Denton, but Tulane, 45-37 win over North Texas. And early in the first quarter, Alabama 3-0 over Missouri. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right here from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.